תזכו לשנים רבות נעימות וטובות. חזק וברוך רבי שחטו. I think it's superfluous to have two speakers. The rabbi gave us a lot to chew on and a lot to think about, and I don't want to dilute the rabbi's message, but I also want to fulfill my obligations, and I was invited to say some Devrei Torah as well, so I ask for your indulgence just for a few moments. The Gaon Mevilna said that the most difficult of all the mitzvot on Leil Seder is not the eating of the matzah or the maror or the arba kosot. That we manage to do. But in the Haggadah it says, Hayav Adam bechol dor vador lir'ot ul'har'ot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. That we have to imagine that we came out of Mitzrayim. That means we have to imagine that we were in Mitzrayim and we came out of Mitzrayim. Now, it's quite difficult because we weren't there. We don't know anybody that was there. As a matter of fact, we live in a free country, so we have no idea what does it mean, avdut, that we can experience chirut. But the Haggadah says, hayav. So, I started to think about that hayuv, and to think of a way that we might be able to fulfill it, at least in an easy way. I made the following observation. We drink arba kosot on Pesach, and they tell us it's for four leshonot, v'hotzeti, v'tzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. Why do you have to have four kosot for one exodus? I'm not against making a l'chaim for the exodus. Pick up a cup, Rabotai, lift up your cups, Yitziat Mitzrayim, l'chaim. Pick up a second cup. The son says, what's the second cup? Yitziat Mitzrayim. I thought that was the first cup. Don't ask questions, l'chaim. The third cup, daddy, what's the third cup? Yitziat Mitzrayim. Well, we did two already for Yitziat Mitzrayim. And I'm telling you from now, there's a fourth one as well. Why four cups for one Yitziah? There was a great rabbi called Rav Hida, Rabbeinu Chaim Yosef David Azulai. Rav Hida reveals to us a great secret when he tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to us in Sefer Bereshit a very important piece of world history, but specifically Jewish history. Am Yisrael would have to endure four exiles besides Mitzrayim. It would be Galut Bavel, Parasumadai, Yavan, and the Galut that we're in today called either Edom or Romi. The Hida says it's hinted to us from the beginning of the Torah in Parashat Bereshit, where the Torah says, "Veha'ares hayeta tohu vavohu v'choshech al pene tehom." Says the Midrash, when the world was created, it was tohu vavohu, helter skelter, bedlam. But the Midrash says, "Tohu zegalut bavel, vavohu parasumadai, choshech yavan, tehom, which is endless." The Torah then predicts that Ruach Elohim merachefet. Ruach Elohim ze ruho shel Mashiach. That after the fourth galut, then we'll have the Mashiach. So from page one, right in the beginning of the Torah is telling us that this is going to be a key part of the Jewish existence. Four exiles. In that same parasha, the Torah tells us about four rivers that ran through Gan Eden. And the Hakamim tell us again that these rivers are corresponding the four exiles. Euphrates being the biggest of the rivers, Perat, that's referring to Galut Romi, Galut Esav that we're in today. Later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu at Brit Bina Betarim. At that prophecy, God will tell Avraham that the Jews will go down to a foreign land. That land is Egypt. But the Torah tells us what that prophecy looked like. What was the environment? And the Torah says, V'hine, Ema, Gedola, V'hashecha, Nofelet. And again the Midrash says, Ema is one Galut. Gedola is another one. Hashecha, yet another. Nofelet, yet a fourth. Yaakov Abinu has a dream. The famous dream with the ladder. The Midrash says, actually there were four angels going up the ladder. The first angel went up 70 rungs and then came down. The second went up 52 and then came down. The third 180 and then came down. The fourth angel, it says, Ole ve'ole ve'ole ve'enu yored. Yaakov Abinu asked the Bore, what are these angels? It says the first angel represents the angel of Galut Bavel. He will go up 70, for whatever reason, the 70 years, and then he'll come down. The second angel represents Parasu Madai. He'll come down. The third is Yavan, he'll come down. So Yaakov Abinu said, but the fourth is Ole ve'ole. It doesn't look like he's ever going to come down. Borei Olam says, it's going to be the longest. The final galut. It's going to be equal to all the galut combined. But then God says, Misham uridecha, I will bring him down from that spot as well. Olim ve'yoredim bo. So you see that the four exiles in Sefer Bereshit are so fundamental that the Torah keeps on reminding it. From Adam HaRishon to Avraham Avinu to the prophecy of Yaakov, everybody knew from day one, Klal Yisrael must go through four galuyot. That's Sefer Bereshit. There was a rabbi called the Rokeyah. The Rokeyah, he calls Sefer Shemot a very, very imaginative name. Each one of the books he calls by an imaginative name. The book of Vayikra that we're in now, he calls Torat Kohanim. Bamidbar is Sefer HaPikudim. Devarim is Mishneh Torah. These are all clever names for Sefarim. And when it comes to Sefer Shemot, he says, Sefer Shemot, Sefer Sheni. It's the second book. Why? He doesn't have a name? Call it Sefer HaGeula. Or call it like we call it, Sefer Shemot. Sefer Sheni, what I understand means, is that what you just learned in the book of Bereshit about the four galuyot? Now you're going to see those four galuyot come into reality. It's the sequel of Sefer Bereshit. Don't think that Sefer Shemot is not connected to what you read in the first book. This is part two of what you read. The Torah tells you four galuyot. Now you're going to read when it happened. Well, if that's the case, it didn't happen. The four galuyot did not happen in Sefer Shemot. One galut happened. Galut Mitzrayim, says Rav Hida. Ve'ele shemot b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayma, haba'im rashetevot, ba'im, Bavel, Edom, Yavan, Madai, haba'im Mitzrayma. That all the four galuyot, the mother of all exile is Egypt. And therefore when we went down to Egypt, we're actually giving a symbolism to the going down to all the galuyot. And when we come down and we come out of Egypt, that represents that we're coming out of all the galuyot. The origin and the root of all galut is Mitzrayim. Therefore, we can understand, if you look at the Sefer Torah, I made this observation, I think it's correct, that the Jewish people, once we became a people, we went down to Egypt four times. Yosef HaTzadik went down to Egypt first. Well, that's after he was sold. So he went down first. Then the brothers went down to get food. Then the brothers went down again with Binyamin. And then Yaakov came down with the family. That's before we became a family. That's why I said when we became a family of Yaakov. But that's a fair question.
And what about if the Ben Yaakov?
What again?
If the Ben Yaakov.
Again?
If the rebellion Yaakov came back down.
Correct, but there was that's a question that I will answer in the class.
Okay.
That funeral of Yaakov Avinu. But that wasn't the entire family. Yosef is considered the family. In any event, the four times that they went down represents the four times that we'd go down to Galut. Each one represents another exile. And that's why on Leil Seder, we have four kosot. The first cup, of course we pick up. Rabotai, Yitziat Mitzrayim. No question. L'chaim, we'll drink to that. We pick up the second cup. What is the second cup? We came out of Bavel. Oh, we came out of Bavel. That's worth it to drink. But why tonight we're talking about Bavel? Because you wouldn't have came out of Bavel if you didn't come out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the template. Mitzrayim is the mother of all galuyot. Habaim Mitzrayimah. If it happened in Mitzrayim, then it'll happen again. And we pick up the third cup. Parasu Madai. We pick up the fourth cup. Yavan. However, we pour a fifth cup. And the fifth cup, the child is about to drink it, so you can't drink it yet. We're still in Galut Romi. This cup you have to put on the table. Maybe we'll be zochet to drink it tonight if Mashiach comes. But we'll call it the Koshel Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi heralds in the Mashiach. So therefore, we say that this course number 5, which represents the fifth exile, it's pending. It's outstanding. There will come a time that we'll drink the fifth cup. So therefore, the Seder actually is not only discussing past events. Seder is actually current events, specifically the event that we're tolerating now, Galut Romi. And therefore, it might not be so difficult to fulfill the mitzvah. Hayav Adam Naharot Et Atzmo Kilo Yatza Mitzrayim. Of course, we're still in Mitzrayim actually. We never left Mitzrayim. The fact that we're in Galut Romi, here in North America, this is an extension of Mitzrayim. We're still here. We only are here because there was a Mitzrayim. This Galut was born in Mitzrayim. And therefore, on the night of Seder, it's not so difficult to imagine that we're still Abadim to a certain degree. And then we have to imagine that there'll also be an exodus, not out of Mitzrayim. That's too difficult to dream about. But you could dream that there will come a Ge'ulah from the current exile that we are in. Well, once that became clear to me, that Mitzrayim is about all the Galuyot, I have other ayot, and I don't want to belabor the point. When God came to Moshe Rabbeinu with the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's the name? What should I tell them? God says, tell them, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. Moshe says, what is Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh? Tell them that I will be with them in this exile, and I will be with them in the other exiles as well. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu mention other exiles when we're in Egypt? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, that's Egypt. Egypt is Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. It's Egypt plus four. It's one entity. Moshe Rabbeinu just says, okay, fine. Dayat Sarah, the Shata. We don't have to tell them about the other four. Although the four is very, very germane to Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Mitzrayim is not Ehyeh. Mitzrayim is Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. It's one plus four. It's all bound together. It's all one. Well, if that's the case, so then we have to talk why in Haggadah Shel Pesach, but I guess it becomes obvious. If you look in Haggadah Shel Pesach, we say, Bechol Dor Vador Omdim Alenu Lechalotenu. Why are you mentioning Bechol Dor Vador? It's Egypt we're talking about tonight. It's not the story of the history of anti-Semitism. Talk about Egypt. And the explanation is, no, because as a result of Egypt, that creates the Bechol Dor Vador Omdim Alenu Lechaloteinu. So the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim, if we wanted to make it more practical, there would be nothing wrong with talking about our current exile, and that also would be referring to the extension of Galut Mitzrayim and ultimately the Geula. Leil Seder is Bechol Dor Vador. It's interesting to note, it's the same exact words where the Hayuv is. Bechol dor vador hayav adam naharot et atzmo. Ki ilu hu yatza me Mitzrayim. And we say, "Bechol dor vador omdim aleinu lechalotenu." That means in your generation, in this door over here, through the galut of Edom that we are involved in, it's the obligation to see Mitzrayim here and make the relevant adjustments. Well, if that's the case, this galut is galut Esav, galut Edom. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the great Kabbalist, when he saw galut Esav and galut Edom, he saw one thing. He saw sin'ah, he saw hatred. And it was Rabbi Shimon that said the famous rule, "Biyadua halakha, Esav sone et Yaakov." That's how he depicted the galut that we're in now. It's the galut of sin'ah. It's the galut of hatred, of animosity. He calls it a halakha, although it doesn't seem that there's anything halachic about the animosity. The great Rabbi Rabbi Menachem Zemba, Hashem Yimkum Damav, was accustomed to say that a halakha is like a halakha to Moshe Sinai. It's something that it exists, but it's hard to give a reason. You can't really explain it. It's just one of those rules that you have to accept. Rabbi Menachem Zemba said that that was the secret that Rabbi Shimon was saying. Don't try to figure out why they hate us. It's a halakha. You know, for the reason that they hate us in one generation, they hate us in a different generation for the exact opposite reason. They hate you in one generation because the Jews are rich, the rich Jew, and then another generation they hate the Jew because he's poor. In one generation they hate us because we're separatists, we live by ourselves. And another generation they hate us because we're too involved. The hatred is because they hate us. You can't figure it out, it's a halakha. You know, the Anti-Defamation League, if they would know that, they would save a lot of money. But all their experiments trying to figure out what's the roots of anti-Semitism and why it's happening and what's the reason, but all the millions that they spent, they didn't solve anything. Anti-Semitism is only growing in America, as we know now. The Jews have become the scapegoats of this sin'ah. In the 1300s, the bubonic plague hit Europe. The Goyim had to figure out a reason, you know, why did this happen? Of course, ultimately, it was the Jews' fault. We brought bubonic plague to Europe. They said, we poisoned the wells that we drink from. But we poisoned it, and there was pogroms all over Europe. They killed millions of Jews because they blamed us for a plague. Just like they blame us today for outbreaks and all sorts of... it's the same rhetoric, it's the same anti-Semitism that was in the 1300s. That we're causing outbreaks and we're causing all sorts of contagious diseases. Nothing changes. The Gaon of Vilna said that Esav is a soneh. So he was asked, well, there's another word for enemy, oyev. What's the difference between a soneh and an oyev? So he said, well, an oyev you can understand. There's a reason why he hates you. Yeah. Oyev is like, he owes you money and doesn't pay. So you hate him. So oyev, you understand the reason. And usually if you pay, the animosity goes away. Somebody embarrasses you in public. He hates him for that reason. There's a reason, so oyev. He apologizes, usually the oivut goes away. But soneh, he says, is like, I don't want to say the word Hashem Shammai, but it's a hatred, it's an idealistic hatred. It's hate for the sake of hate. You can't give a reason why. He says, Esav is not a oyev, Esav is a soneh. There's an old story, although I heard a different version of it this week, that's why I'll say it over, of a Nazi that saw a Jew. And he told the Jew that he has one fake eye. And he challenged the Jew to know which is the fake glass eye. And the Jew right away said, that's the glass eye. And he said, how do you know? He said, I don't see hatred coming out of that eye. The other eye is exuding hatred, sin'ah, of the Nazi. The other one is not so much. That must be synthetic. So there was a great rabbi, Rab Dessler. Rab Dessler, in his Mechtav Eliyahu, asks a question. He said, why was our generation put in the galut of sin'ah? Why we become the victims of this hate monger called Esav? This hatred has been going on from when we came out of Egypt. The second we came out of Egypt, Vayavo Amalek. What did we do to Amalek to provoke him to hate us? We were in Egypt for 210 years. We didn't bother you, Amalek. We were slaves. We were being tortured by Paro. What in the world could we have done to provoke you that you hate us? We didn't do anything yet. Let us come out. Let us do something before you attack us. But Yabu Amalek, that's sin'ah. That he learned from his grandfather. Esav. Esav sonei Yaakov. So Rabbi Dessler says, very simple. The first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed for three reasons. Gilui Arayot, Shefichud Damim, Avodah Zarah. So he says, those three would manifest the three exiles. Galut Bavel, Paras Umadai, and Yavan. And each one had the weakness of one of those bad traits. And God put us in that Galut in order that we should make a tikkun for specifically that Avon. And then he says the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinat Hinnam. I want to be very clear, because you hear many people get up, Sinat Hinnam, Sinat Hinnam. But it should be clear what we're talking about over here, Sinat Hinnam, baseless hatred. The Hafiz Chaim says, you don't have to be vague. Sinat Hinnam means Lashon Hara. The people in the times of the Second Temple were talking Lashon Hara. Put it very simple. Sinat Hinnam is, it's baseless because you have no benefit when you talk Lashon Hara. Gemara compares the person that speaks Lashon Hara to a snake. A lion pounces on his prey, but it's not for no reason. He eats his prey. You can't call that for no reason. It's not baseless. He eats it, he has good dinner. The snake, however, puts his venom into his victim and he slides away. He doesn't have any benefit from it. He just kills him. That's Lashon Hara. It's Hinam. It's for no benefit. What's the benefit of talking behind somebody's back negatively? Well, the Gemara Yomad Daftet says that was very prevalent. They were killing each other with their tongues. So Rabbi Dessler says something very, very, very frightening. And he says, the Jews committed sin'ah, and therefore God put us in the galut of sin'ah. So we know what we have to fix. When we come along and see the hatred that the Goyim have to us, that should ring an alarm to teach us that that's the avon that we're guilty of. The anti-Semitism is a mirror where the tikkun of Klal Yisrael has to happen. Sin'at Hinnam is the cause of the anti-Semitism of Esav Soneh. And in his language he says that the reason why Esav Soneh Yaakov is because Yaakov Soneh Yaakov. That's a strong word. And again, back to, I didn't come to bash the ADL tonight, but that's the cause. So instead of spending all that money on trying to figure out why Goyim hate us, they should spend a lot of money in promoting peace amongst Jews. And then if they could crack the code of Yaakov, Sonei Yaakov, then anti-Semitism will go away. Rabbi Dessler says the galut of sin'ah is to remind us of where our avon is. Well, if that's the case, there's a famous midrash that says the brothers came to Esav, their uncle, and said, Uncle Esav, why do you hate our father so much? Why do you hate our father Yaakov so much? He's your brother. I mean, you got so angry at him, you caused him to become a fugitive, you had to run away. When he came back, you bit him in the neck, you tried to kill him. Why do you hate your brother so much? Esav says, when you tell me why you hated your brother so much, you took Yosef and you threw him into a pit. When you explain me why you hated your brother, I'll tell you why I hated my brother. And the Gemara says that the Shevatim could not answer the claim of Esav. You're telling me? Who are you to tell me how to treat a brother? You yourself did the same thing, maybe worse. You threw him into snakes and scorpions. Well, at that point, Yosef walks into the conversation. He said, what's the conversation? And the man is talking, we're talking about the brothers. He says, fine, what are you going to answer to me? I didn't sell any brother. I was the victim. And not only that, but I forgave them. When they came down to Egypt, I gave them full food. I set them up in Goshen. I told them I have nothing to worry about. At that point, Esav realized that I might not fall in the hands of the tribes. I can answer them, but I can't answer Yosef. And the Gemara learns from there, it's a midrash, that Esav knew at that point he will fall to the hands of Yosef. The pasuk says, "V'haya bet Yaakov le'esh, u'bet Yosef le'hava, u'bet Esav le'kash." Bet Yaakov, the family of Yaakov, is called Esh. And Lehaba, Yosef, is called the fire. And Esav is called Kash. Kash is straw. Fire consumes the straw. Yosef is the fire that will consume Bet Esav. The Shlach Kadosh says, Esh is Rashi Tevot, Ahava and Shalom. That was Yosef. Yosef had no animosity. And Kash is Rashi Tevot, Kin'ah and Sin'ah. Bet Yaakov Esh, Ubet Esav, the Kash. So therefore, when I come to the Seder, now we get to Pesach. Now that you understand the current events of the Galut that we're in, when I come to Seder, I'd like to tell you a custom that I have. Of course, we do Kadesh. After Kadesh, we sit down and I tell the kids, Rabotai, and whoever's at the Seder table, it's not enough for us to talk about the 10 plagues and all the miracles, which we'll get to, of course, on that night. But I'd like to talk about something more fundamental. Shouldn't we ask ourselves, what brought us to Galut Mitzrayim? How did we get into this mess? Something must have caused it. I believe that that's a very important question, because if you don't know what caused Galut Mitzrayim, then you won't know what caused this Galut, because this Galut is a direct result of Mitzrayim. So shouldn't you study history and say, what brought the Galut? It's a fair question. It's not in the Haggadah, of course, but it's a fair question to ask. What got us into this mess? And the kids know the answer already. They say, well, it all started with Yosef. You know, Yaakov Avinu made a Laraba Kostishon. Yaakov Avinu made 12 ketonets for his children. Everybody thinks he only made one for Yosef. No, he made for all his children. But the Midrash says Yosef's, however, was a few inches longer. The Midrash says that the cuff was a few inches longer on both sides, and it covered the palm of Yosef. That's why they call it a ketonet pasim. Pas is a palm. Pasyad. It covered his palms. So they got jealous. The pasuk says, "Vaykanu, vayisneu, kash." The midav Esav. Esav sonei Yaakov didn't start with Esav sonei Yaakov. It started with Yaakov sonei Yaakov. They hated him for it. They resented him. They had animosity. Well, they stripped the coat off of him, and they dipped it in the blood. They threw him into a pit, and before you know it, we were in Egypt. That's the catalyst of how Egypt begins. The family of Yaakov, Sonei, that's not anti-Semitism. You can't point fingers to Paro yet. Paro had nothing to do with it. It all started in the family. So I say to Botai, therefore, we must commemorate at this moment the cause of why we went down to Egypt. So we're going to reenact it. You know, in some homes, they reenact Kiryat Yamsuf. Everybody takes off their shoes in the middle of the Seder, they get a bucket, and they walk in the bucket to give a reenactment. Like the rabbi said, the graphics. So I also want to do graphics. I said we're going to commemorate this event. Please, everybody now pick up the ketonet pasim, and then we're going to dip it into blood. They say, pick up the ketonet pasim. Where's the ketonet pasim? I said, don't ask any questions. Just look at the ke'ala. The ketonet pasim is there. Please pick it up. And we're now going to dip it. We can't dip it in blood, although that would be perfect. So we'll dip it in salt water. But imagine that's blood. They said, Dad, with all due respect, you only drink one course. There's no ketonet pasim over here. And I tell them always, you don't learn Rashi and Chumash. They don't teach you Rashi. You just go straight to the Ramban and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. You forgot to read Rashi. Rashi on the words ketonet pasim, he says very simply, Mazik ketonet pasim. He wants to give us another word so we can understand it. He says, Kemo karpas. Kemo karpas. What's the word karpas? Karpas. Kar is a piece of fabric, and pas is a fabric that covers the palm. So another synonym for the word ketonet pasim is karpas. So I tell the kids, now you see the ketonet pasim, pick it up. And they pick up the ketonet. I said, this is not a celery. This over is the ketonet pasim. and we're dipping it in salt water because how much tears did this Ketoret Pasim cause Yaakov Abinu? How many tears of salt water did the Jewish people cry in Egypt for 210 years? This is the cause. Vayitbol et haketonet badam. Wow, that makes a tremendous impact. And then we start reading the Seder, and then they say, okay, Dad, we're dipping again. What is this dipping? So, well, there's another time that we dipped in blood. Right before we left Egypt, God said, take the Korban Pesach, slaughter it. Take Agudat Ezov, that's a group of grass, Utbaltem Badam. Very interesting. We went down to Egypt by dipping something into blood, and we left Egypt the same way, dipping something into blood. But there's a difference. The difference is that the first dipping was a dipping of divisiveness. The second dipping, it says, Ulkahtem Aguda. Aguda is a bundle. Aguda is a group. Aguda is cohesive. The tikkun of dipping the ketonet into blood happens 210 years later when we take Agudat Ezov and we dip it. And therefore, I tell them, look at the Ka'ara. What's the thing on the Ka'ara that looks most like an Aguda of Ezov, of grass? Well, it's got to be the Maror and the Hazeret. And we make a bundle of it, Aguda. We can't dip it in blood, but the Haroset is close enough. And we dip it in the Haroset, and that's the Tikkun. So therefore, on Leil Seder, we double dip. The double dipping on Leil Seder is to remind us the cause of the Galut, and then the redemption. And once you learn that, then you have the cause and result of our Galut. Our Galut is because Sin'ah. And the Tikkun of the Sin'ah is going to be Aguda. A few days ago, I was in the country called Belarus. Belarus is in Eastern Europe. It's a communist country. Some say it's the North Korea of Eastern Europe. They still have KGB. They don't let you in the country for more than 3 days. They're watching you. They're probably recording everything you do. But we went anyway. And we landed in a city called Minsk. From Minsk, we went by a bus to the city of Radin. And Radin, there's an old yeshiva there. And we went to the yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva was, of course, the famed Hafetz Chaim, Rabbi Meir Yisrael Kagan HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol of Radin. And it was in that yeshiva that he wrote the famous laws of Lashon Hara. Before the Hafetz Chaim wrote the laws of Lashon Hara, they weren't so well known. You had to know all of the Torah to cherry pick different halachot. He came along without a computer in the yeshiva and he collected all the halachot. He made for us a guide. I thought it's amazing. 5,600 years and there was no book on Lashon Hara like that. Not Shulchan Aruch, not Harambam. It took 5,600 years. Anyway, after we went to the yeshiva in Radin, you go across the street, that's where the Hafetz Chaim is buried. And of course you go to the kever and you pray. When we left the kever, we noticed there's another plaque, a memorial, just a few steps from the Hafetz Chaim's kever. Over there there's a big sign. It says that the Nazis came in June 1941 into Radin, and they liquidated Radin. I don't know what they want from Radin. Radin was the enemy of the Nazis. Radin's off the beaten track. It's the middle of nowhere. What in the world did the Nazis want? This was the enemy of the Nazis, the few Jews that were living in Radin. Anyway, they made them dig a pit, and they ended up killing 1,500 innocent Jews in the mass grave, and they buried them. So we went there as well. And I said, look at this from both corners of your eye. From the right eye, you see the Hafetz Chaim, who wrote the book of Lashon Hara, Hafetz Chaim. And in the left eye, you see the epitome of Esav Sonei Yaakov. It's almost as if the Hafetz Chaim is saying, the tikkun of that, the tikkun of what you see right across from my grave, is what I wrote, this book. This book is the tikkun for that. The galut of Sinat Hinnam must be fixed through Lashon Tov, learning the laws. Sinat Hinnam equals Lashon Hara. And that Sinat is metukan through this limud. And as long as Yaakov is Sonei Yaakov through his Diburim, so this is part of the result. In any event, if that's the case, I go back to the Seder, and we go back to the end of the Seder. At the end of the Seder, we sing a song called the Hadgadiyah. It must be an important song because the Gaon of Vilna wrote a pirush on it. Although it's hard to understand the value of this song. I'm not going to sing it for you tonight, but I'll go through the lyrics just so you could understand how mysterious the song is. Hadgadiyah, Hadgadiyah. Okay, one goat, one goat. The Zabin Ababa Trezuzeh that our father bought for 2 zoos. Ve'ata shunra ve'achla legadya. The cat came and ate the goat. Ve'ata kalba ve'nashach leshunra. The dog came and bit the cat. Ve'ata hutra ve'ika lekalba. The stick came and hit the dog. Ve'ata nura ve'saraf lehutra. The fire came and burnt the stick. Ve'ata maya ve'chaba lenura. The water came and put out the fire. Ve'ata torah, torah is a short, an axe. Veshata lemaya and drank the water. Vata shohet veshahat leTorah. The shohet came, the slaughterer came, and he slaughtered the ox. Vata malach hamavet veshahat leShohet. Vata Hakadosh Baruch Hu veshahat malach hamavet. Had gadya, had gadya. What in the world could this song be talking about? And it makes it to the seder. It makes it, and that's how you end the night. You end the night with this piyut. Now, mind you, Rav Hida brings down that somebody once was mezalzel in Hadgadiyah and they put him in Harem. They knew that the song is filled with a lot of mysticism and a lot of depth. Gaon of Vilna said the following pirush. He said, Hadgadiyah, Hadgadiyah, where you see in the Torah 2 goats? Hadgadiyah, Hadgadiyah. He says, I found it. Rivka Imenu calls Yaakov and says, go make for your father Shtegedaya Izim. Go make for your father 2 goats. He's giving out blessings tonight. And to get the blessings, you have to present them 2 goats. The Gemara says because it was Erev Pesach. And Yitzhak needs 1 goat for Korban Pesach and 1 goat for Korban Hagigah. And by giving him the goat, you'll get the blessings. Says the Gaon, but Yaakov is not the Bechor. The blessings belong to Esav. He said, no, our father bought the Bechor from Esav. And he bought it for two currencies. Lechem unzid adashim. A loaf of bread and lentil soup. Had gadya. The 2 goats that Yaakov would bring to his father. Even though he wasn't a Bechor, the Zabin Abba. Our father bought the Bechorah betrezuzeh. But lechem unzid adashim. Therefore the blessings belonged to him. Well, after he got the blessings from his father that night, which was Leil Pesach, the rabbi said, Birkat Kohanim, that's the night of the Berachot. That's the night we got the Berachot from Yitzchak, Leil Pesach Haya. Well, after he got the Berachot, he gave him to Yosef. That's why he gave him the Ketonet Pasim with the special cuff. That means he gets the Berachot. The brothers became jealous. Why should Yosef get the Berachot? Yosef is called the Gedi. Because the numerical value of Gedi, Gimal Dalet Yud, is 17. Yosef was 17 years old when the brothers came after him. Gaon Mevilna says the most jealous of all the animals is the cat. The cat is a jealous creature. Therefore, Ve'ata Shunra came the Shevatim in jealousy. Ve'kan'u Ve'akla Legadya. Now it's not Hadgadya, Hadgadya. Now it's 1 Gadya. The 1 Gadya is Yosef. Yosef is 17 Gematria Gedi. They devour him in jealousy and hatred. Is this not the theme of Leil Seder? That's the whole theme of Leil Seder. The Karpas. So we start the Seder with the Karpas, and then we read the Hadgadya to remind us, don't forget why this happened. Because the Shunra ate the Gadya. The cat ate the goat. And as a result, you know what happened? God sent us to Egypt. And the Zohar Kadosh says the king of Egypt was Paro. The Ihu Kalba. Paro is considered a dog. He's a rabid dog. He's a dog that has tremendous, tremendous hatred for Klal Yisrael. And therefore God says, you have hatred amongst yourselves. Ve'ata Kalba. Paro is the Kalba, the dog. Ve'ika Leshundra. And he started to attack the Shevatim. And then Klal Yisrael, it says in the Midrash, they realized they made a mistake. It took them 210 years. It says, Lo nigalu avotenu mitzrayim ad shevsiku mildaber lashon hara. It's one of four things they fixed. It's a midrash in Vayikra Rabba, Lamidhe, in the name of Bar Kapara. They stopped speaking Lashon Hara. Amazing, just like the Hafetz Chaim said, that the tikkun of the galut is Lashon Hara. When they figured it out then. And if they figured it out, God told Moshe, fine, take your stick and go split the sea. The Ata, Hutra, God told Moshe to take the Hutra, the stick, Ika Lekalba, and go hit the Paro. Go hit Paro. And after the Jews came out of Egypt, Shlomo HaMelech would build the first Beit HaMikdash. The Gaon says, from some Hazal, that Moshe, that Shlomo took the stick of Moshe and put it in the Beit HaMikdash. They showcased the stick. It was on display in the Beit HaMikdash. However, the Babylonians would come and destroy the Beit HaMikdash. The Atanura, the fire came, the Sarat Lechutra, and it burnt the Chutra and the temple itself. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And God was angry at Klal Yisrael. We would be sent to Galut Bavel. We mentioned Galut Bavel on Lel Seder because it's part of Yitziat Mitzrayim, is Galut Bavel. There's nothing wrong with mentioning all the Galiot. It's an extension. God was angry at us. But in Bavel, we wrote Talmud Babli. Talmud Babli is compared to water. En Mayim Ela Torah. The Ata Maya, the Maya of Talmud Babli, of Galut Bavel. Chabba Lenura. It extinguished the anger of God. Borei Olam was pacified. Talmud Babli. However, with the Talmud Babli, the anger of God subsided and we built the second temple. However, during the second temple came Sinat Hinam. Ve'ata Torah came the Shor, says the Gaon. Who's the Shor? Shor de Klipa. That's Esav, is called the Shor. And he gives an interesting gematria. He says the numerical value of Shor is Shin Vav Resh, which is 506. What the word is 507? You could do that with the Kolel, you add the word. 507. He says, Shor gematria Esav, Samich Mem, and Aleph Lamed. Which is, Esav is the Samich Mem, which exactly equals 507. Came the ox, once there was Sinat Hinam amongst the Jewish people, like the Gemara says in Yomad Daftet. Once we had Sinat Hinam, it aroused the Shor. Came the anti-Semite, the Esav Soneh, the Ata Torah, the ox came, the Shatal Maya. Even all the Torah Shebaal Peh that we had was not able to defend us against the destruction. It was like the Torah Shebaal Peh didn't exist. When does Torah not protect us? The Shor came, v'shata lemaya. It was as if Torah was not able to be magna umatzla. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because the sin'ah of Klal Yisrael, and that aroused the sin'ah of Esav. Well, that is where we're up to today. We're living through that now. The rest of the Haggadah is futuristic. The Gemara says that there's going to be two Mashiachim. The first Mashiach will be Mashiach ben Yosef. And as we learned, that Mashiach ben Yosef, since he comes from Yosef, will be the one to take down Esav. So therefore, it says in the Haggadah, Ve'ata Torah v'shata lemaya v'ata shohet. Who's the shohet? Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef, like the Gemara Sukkah says, is going to come and make shechita on the Samech Mem on Esav. En Esav nofel ela biyad Yosef. Bet Yosef lehaba u'bet Esav lekash. Yosef that was not involved in the sin'ah. On the contrary, he reconciled. V'ata shohet v'shachat. The Torah will kill Esav. However, the Gaon says, the tradition is that Mashiach ben Yosef will get killed in the war of Gog u'Magog. And we even know the name of the person that will kill him, Armi lo Sarasha. And therefore it says, Ve'ata malach ha-mavet, v'shachat la-shochet. He will kill Mashiach ben Yosef. However, after Mashiach ben Yosef dies, God himself will reveal himself, just like he revealed himself in Egypt, and even lo malach, and even lo saraf, and even lo shariah. Ve'ata ha-kadosh baruch hu b'chvodo ba'atzmo, with Mashiach ben David, v'shachat la-malach ha-mavet. And that will be already at the time of the redemption. And we recognize that on the Seder, when we put the fourth course, or the fifth course on the table, and we say, nobody drink it. This is still outstanding for Eliyahu HaNavi, who's going to usher in the Mashiach. The Arizal said that Paro is otiyot pera. That was the Avon of Mitzrayim. Pera, there was sin'ah amongst the brothers. And the tikkun of Pera is Pesach. Pesach, it's the same letter Pe, but the mouth that speaks, the mouth that speaks to the tikkunim of Lashon Hara. And that's the message. And I will conclude with what the great rabbi from Chernobyl said, that Mashiach will come when Klai Yisrael is able to move the dot less than an inch. They said, move the dot, which dot? .com, which dot are you talking about? Move the dot less than an inch. He said, in Hebrew, the word for speech is Masiyah. Masiyah, siha, sihana'a. That the tikkun is Masiyah. When the dibur of Klai Yisrael becomes fixed, then God is going to move that dot on the scene to the right, less than an inch. And then Masiyah becomes Mashiach. It's going to come through Perah to Pesach. And that's where we end the Haggadah by saying, Arahmanu yishlach lanu et Eliyahu al-Navi zechu latov. Yibased lanu besorot tovot, yishuot v'nechamot. Amen v'amen.